أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ويوم يعد الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا. يا ويلتى ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا لقد أضلني عن الذكر بعد إذ جاءني وكان الشيطان للإنسان خذولا. وقال الرسول يا رب إن قوم اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. وكذلك جعلنا لكل نبي عدوا من المجرمين وكفى بربك هاديا ونصيرا. وقال الذين كفروا لولا نزل عليه القرآن جملة واحدة كذلك لنثبت به فؤادك ورتلناه ترتيلا. ولا يأتونك بمثل إلا جئناك بالحق وأحسن تفسيرا. The day the Zalim will bite at his hands, saying, had I only taken up the path with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, woe to me, had I never taken such a person as a friend. He has misled me from the message of Allah Ta'ala after it had come to me. And Shaitan is a great traitor to mankind. This is an incident of Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, amongst the very wealthy of the Quraysh. For his business purposes, he would go abroad, importing, exporting, amongst the wealthiest. And when he would return to Makkah Mukarramah, then he would host a big feast and call the notable and the respectable people of Makkah Mukarramah. And he would invite Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. And Nabi sallam explained to him that until you do not declare the shahadat, except La ilaha illallah, and me as the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala, that I am not prepared to accept your invitation. What's the point in attending your invitation when there is no basis for the friendship? You are against Allah Ta'ala and I am inviting towards Allah Ta'ala. So what's... There is nothing that is in common between us. So, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id had accepted and he declared the shahadat. In the meanwhile, Ubay ibn Khalf had heard about this and it was obvious that he became concerned that Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, on account of his standing, his status and wealth, is very influential in Makkah Mukarramah. If he accepts, then what's going to happen to the rank and file? So he went and complained to Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id and he says that I'm not prepared to hear any story from you until and unless you go up to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reject him, and na'uzu billah, must even spit on his face. So Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, the wretched, he did this just to maintain that relationship and friendship. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about him, that this Uqba on the day of Qiyamah, out of extreme regret and pain, he will bite. And a person is in total remorse and there is no exit for him from the remorse. Then he begins to bite its teeth, gnaw away against his hand, his fingers, then his hand. So he'll bite off his entire hand in total regret and remorse, that had I only taken that path with the Rasul, I wouldn't have been in this predicament today. And had I not taken such a person as a friend, he has misled me after the message had come to me. The Quran and the Hadith is replete with this type of advices of maintaining the right type of company, right type of association. That's why the Hadith says that you should only join up with a mu'min and let only a muttaqi eat of your food. Another hadith says, It must be only a muttaqi that enters your home. The one that doesn't have taqwa, then what's the good in him entering the home? Further, hadith also says that man adopts the ways of his friends. So if people that do not have taqwa, they're not committed to deen, and they frequent your home, then gradually you will adopt their ways, their thinking, their ways, their behavior, and their conduct. And stealthily, your mind will begin to adopt their ways without you even realizing that this is what has happened. Your thinking will go off, your behavior will go, and your conduct will just change completely, entirely. Therefore, Imam Ghazali Sahib rahmatullahi admonishes, and he says, when you take up a friend, then see these five things. If he's got these five things, then you accept him as your friend. Otherwise, there's no point in that friendship. One is that he must be intelligent. Because the person that isn't intelligent, then he may wish good for you, but because he cannot reason and understand well, then he will cause problems for you on account of his short-sightedness. Number two, it may be that the person is intelligent, but he doesn't have proper character and mannerisms. So if he doesn't have proper character and mannerisms, then too, he will let you down. Because though he can reason and understand, but his manners, his character is not good. Sometimes it will be his jealousy that will overwhelm his mind. Sometimes it will be the pride that will overwhelm his mind. Sometimes it will be greed for wealth that will overwhelm his thinking and reasoning. Sometimes it is his stinginess that will cloud his understanding and reasoning. So though he's intelligent, but because his character is not good, his character will be corrupt on account, his reasoning will be corrupt on account of his bad character and ways. Number three, he mustn't be a fasik, he mustn't be a corrupt, sinful person, because the person that is sinful, he is not true to Allah Ta'ala, then how can he be true to you? He is not good to Allah Ta'ala, then how will he be good towards you? Number four, he says it mustn't be a bidati, a person that is innovating in deen. Because an innovator, you're supposed to be breaking up from him, not joining up. And the last point that Imam Ghazali Sahib, the philosopher of the age, he says that you should be careful about is he shouldn't be a person possessed with greed. He's obsessed with wealth and greed. Because he says that when you join up with anybody, you sit with anybody, then stealthily you begin to infuse his ways into yourself. You don't even realize that his ways, his thinking, they penetrate into your temperament, and then they confuse you, they just turn you around. So these are the five pointers that Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayhi, explains, that this is what you're supposed to be keeping in mind before you take someone in your friendship. On the day of Qiyamah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will complain to Allah Ta'ala, My Rabb, my people have forsaken this Qur'an. One is the kafir who has totally abandoned the Qur'an, rejecting the Qur'an. So obviously, this warning is mainly for him. But the mu'min who keeps the Qur'an and he doesn't recite it, he doesn't practice upon it, he comes under the ambit of this warning as well. Lama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi says, the person who's got the Qur'an, learnt it, and then allaqahu fi baytihi, he suspends it on a high, respectable place in his home, but walam yata'ahadhu walam yanzur fi, he doesn't look at it all the time, he doesn't recite it like he's supposed to be reciting it, and doesn't apply it to his life, then that Qur'an on the day of Qiyamah, it will appear, and it will complain to Allah Ta'ala, Ya Rabbi, inna abdaka hadha, this servant of yours, ittakhadhani mahjura, so he has forsaken me, faqdi bayni wa baynahu. This servant of yours has forsaken the Qur'an, so now you decide between me and him. the importance of looking at the Quran, reciting it and applying it in our lives. In this manner, for every Nabi have we appointed an enemy from amongst the sinners. You have also got oppositions, so don't be worried and too concerned about this, because your Rabb is sufficient to guide and to help. So every righteous person will have an enemy. He will have an opposition. So he doesn't have to become obsessed on account of that person's enmity and consumed. Rather, kafa bi rabbika hadiya wa nasira. When your Rabb is sufficient to guide and to assist, then your trust must be increasing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You implore His assistance, your nazar, and your sight must go deeper and deeper in Allah ta'ala, His help, His assistance and His guidance. Turn it away from the person. In fact, turn it away from yourself as well. Turn it entirely to Allah ta'ala. It is He that will assist. It is He who will help and protect. The unbelievers also raised the objection, why isn't this Quran revealed at once? So we reveal it gradually in stages that we may strengthen your heart thereby, and we reveal it down gradually, رَتَّلْنَاهُ tartila, gradually in stages. So these unbelievers, they don't realize these things. The Quran is coming down in stages gradually, that it may settle in your heart easily. It's coming at the right occasion, so you know exactly how to apply it, as compared to a situation with the Quran Sharif had come all at once. Then it would have been difficult first to see which verse comes for which occasion. And here, when it comes on that occasion, then again your relationship with Allah Ta'ala is renewed. You see the support of Allah Ta'ala. You see the help of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala freshly descending to you. So your trust in Allah Ta'ala, your love in Allah Ta'ala increases. And whatever questions these people put forth, we reveal the truth to you and the best of explanations. So don't be concerned about them. These are the people that will be gathered on their faces to Jahannam, and they will be worst off in position and totally lost from the path.